John chapter 15, we continue our study. The subject this morning is, of course, the subject of love. Have you ever noticed in the Bible, and maybe it's just me because I preach, but it seems like I wind up on this subject a lot. And it's not because you need it so much. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But you just can't go very far in the Bible without coming across that word and an example of the love of God. And so I'm thankful for that because I'll be honest with you, I need to be reminded of the love of God. I need to be reminded of the love that I'm supposed to have for others. And so that's what we're going to do today as we explore a deeper relationship with Jesus. We're going to look at the subject of love and having that deeper relationship through love. Will you stand with me as we read from the book of John, chapter 15? We're going to read this morning 9 through 13. We're going to finish this message tonight and read 14 through 17. But now, beginning in verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the great love that you have shown toward us. Thank you for the sacrifice that you have made on our behalf. And may we, Lord, as your children, abide in your love. So much so that it overflows through us onto and into the lives of others. Lord, we love you. Help us to grow in that love. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to start this morning, number one, with the phrase abiding in love. Jesus said to his disciples here, "Abide in my love." Now, how many of you have got love figured out? Good, because we're going to start with the education of love, okay? We're going to learn what love is, and we're going to learn today how to love and what Jesus had in mind when he said, "Abide in my love." Most people in the world today would say, "Oh, I know how to love. I love my family, I love my wife or husband, and I love my kids, I love my grandkids." That's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about agape love. Agape is the Greek word for love used in the New Testament, and it's used in two ways. It's used both as a noun and a verb. And as a noun, it means an attitude of unconditional affection and devotion toward another person. Key word there is unconditional. As a verb, it is used as proving that love and affection and devotion for another person. Now, whether you find it used in the Bible, in the New Testament, as a noun or a verb, it carries both of those definitions wherever you find it. Okay? It's not just a feeling. It is much deeper. First thing I want you to grab is that agape love is a choice. Agape love is a choice. It is not a feeling. And you know, Jesus told his disciples, "I chose you, you did not choose me." Jesus chose to love them. He initiated that love. He experienced that love from the Father, and He initiated that love toward His disciples. Now, as Jesus says, abide in my love, He's telling us today that He chose us. And He has demonstrated His love for us. And now the challenge is for us to choose to love, which is not always easy. Right? I mean, let's face it, some people are just hard to love. We'll not name names. But they are. So first, agape love is a choice. Second, agape love is always accompanied by action. Remember, I said it was a verb. It's not just a statement. I love you, Lord. I hear that phrase a lot. But I see that phrase in action even less. You see, loving the Lord is more than just that statement. It's an action. It is putting that love into action and pouring that love into the lives of others. Third, agape love is a gift to be developed. First of all, you can't do it. You cannot do it. This agape love that we're talking about has to come from the Father who is in heaven. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're told that it is a spiritual gift. Now abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Do you realize the greatest spiritual gift that you can have if you are a child of God is love? But you cannot formulate this love on your own. It's first initiated and comes from God the Father. Now it is developed. Right? Anything you have, if you do not use it, you lose it. It has to be exercised. You have to make the choice. You have to be very intentional. I'm going to use the love that God has given me. You say, Brother Doug, I've got a love problem. I don't know how to get out of it. Just start loving people. It's easy. Just pick you somebody in this congregation today and say, I'm going to love them. Now, don't go up and say, I love you. Show that love. Let it be an action. Because the greatest thing that people need in the world today is to be cared for and to be loved with this agape kind of love that we're talking about. It is a supernatural action. It's not natural to love the way we're talking about with this agape love that we're talking about, okay? It's not natural to love that way. You know what is natural? It's natural to lust. Lust is not love. It's natural to be angry. It's natural to be selfish. But this love that we're talking about is not natural. It is supernatural. It is looking beyond the faults and failures of people and loving them in spite of those faults and failures. Oh, this is a love that's got to come from God or it'll never happen. And if it's there, now you listen. This is where it gets personal. If it's there, if it's in your life, there is evidence of that love. It shows. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. John 14:15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Jesus, the evidence of that love is going to be that you keep the commandments of Jesus. I hear people or I see people who live like the devil and they say, I love Jesus. And I want to say, don't lie. You don't love Jesus. If you do not keep the commandments of Jesus, You see, talk is cheap. You can say, I love you. No. Where is the evidence? Does it show? And that's the question we've got. We must all ask ourselves. Is there evidence of my love for Jesus? Fact is, obedience is the evidence of your love for Jesus. Okay? Obedience is the evidence of your love for Jesus. In the same sense, disobedience is the evidence that you do not love Jesus. Now hang on to this, okay? Because we're building. We're building a case here. If you're obedient to Jesus, that's telling Jesus you love Him. If you're disobedient to Jesus, that's saying, Jesus, I don't love you. Well, Brother Doug, I'd never say that. Yes, you are. That's what Jesus is telling you here. So if you're loving, there's going to be evidence of that love. Then, the joy of that love. Jesus said in verse 11, these things have I spoken that your joy may be full. Is your joy full today? Do you ever wonder, where's my joy? I was so happy at one time. I was so I rejoiced in the Lord all the time, and I always had a smile, and I don't have that anymore. You want to know what the likely problem is? Likely problem is you've got a love failure. Jesus said, I'm giving you this, I'm telling you this, so that my joy will remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I've come to realize I can just almost every time I become downhearted. And you know, we're preachers. We do that on occasion. Like everybody else, I guess. But when I become downhearted, it's just almost without question, it's because I fail to love. And I get to looking at myself. And I think, well, nobody appreciates me. You ever do that? Moms at home, I know you do that. I get to looking around and nobody's doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm the preacher. Nobody seems to be listening. And the funnest part of the service seems to be the dismissal prayer. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking at me. Feeling sorry for me. I'm not loving people. I'm not looking out here and saying, man, I pray you get this message today. You know, I'm not looking at people and wanting God's best for people. I'm looking at me. You know what that's called? That's called selfishness. Have you noticed that there are those who are never happy? You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about the ups and the downs of life. I'm talking about you can take it to the bank. If you meet that person, they're not happy. They come into church. They sit down at church. And they look like they've had a persimmon. Kids, you probably don't know what a green persimmon does to you. Let me encourage you. It's one of the most exhilarating experiences you can have in your life. If you have the opportunity to eat a green persimmon, go ahead. No, don't. Don't. What it does, it ruins your mouth for the rest of the day. There are a lot of church members like that. It's all you see. Not only are they not happy, they don't want anybody else to be happy either. Let me help you mess up your day so you can join me in this pot of misery that I'm in. What's the problem? They're not loving. They don't understand why they're not happy. They don't understand why there's no joy. The reason is there's no love. Jesus is telling His disciples, you do not have to be miserable. But the only avenue of joy is this God love that I have shared with you. That's what He's saying. You see, when He's saying abide in this love, bottom line is you've got to take your eyes off of you and put your eyes on Jesus. And that's not just a phrase, all right? That's something that actually happens when your heart turns away from your desires and what you like and your dislike, and it turns to Jesus. I just want to love you by loving other people. That's what we're talking about here. Have you ever noticed how much fun it is to love? Give you an example. Grandbabies. I love to love grandbabies. I do. Now, I love my children, but I really, really love my grandbabies. Part of that love is if I can do something for them. Buy them a present. We were in Walmart one time, and it was when my oldest granddaughter, she was just, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old, and we were in Walmart, and Beth said, you go with Pops, and I'm going to go buy these things. And so we went with Pops, and we went back to the tricycles. And Grammy, she came out with groceries, and we came out with a tricycle. And I want to tell you, I was so proud of myself. I was like, that's right. I bought it for my grandma. And it's because I could do something for my grandchild. You know? Love is an action that brings joy. And the same thing works in church among the brethren. I have discovered my joy is when I can do something for church members. That's a great joy to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, you do everything that any church member ever says. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just loving the brethren. And there's a joy that goes with that, that nothing else does. That nothing else touches. You know, if I could get in church people today that mentality of the joy of loving, if I could take away the normal world thought of what's in it for me, and you know, church is supposed to serve me and minister to me, and if we could get people to get rid of the me's, can you imagine what the church would be? That's the love we're talking about. That's the love that will bring joy. So let's talk about applying this love, okay? This agape love. Well, first of all, there has to be a standard. Okay? And the standard is, Jesus said that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the standard. And what I want you to pay special attention to are the two words, as I. You do not love like I love. You say, well, Brother Doug, I love more than you. I love better. I'm not your standard. Okay? And I'm not going to love like you love. Because you're not my standard. You know where my standard is? My standard is Jesus Christ. I want to love like Jesus loved me. Not I'll love you till I disagree with you. Not I'll love you till you make me mad. Or I'll love you until someone better comes along for me to love. The standard is, I want to love you like Jesus has loved me. Anything less, and you are belittling the love that Jesus has shown towards you. You see the point? When I fail to love you, It is an accusation before the throne of God that Jesus has failed to love me. And He has not failed to love me. Okay? I mean, He has been so good to me. Why would I not look at you and say, I want you to know the joy that I have in Jesus Christ? That's what we're talking about. Yeah? The only way you're going to know that joy is when you make Jesus the standard of love. Well, Brother Doug, they've never done anything for me. I'm not going to do anything for you. They're not the standard. Jesus is the standard. Here's my challenge. Don't base your love on people. Base your love on Jesus' love for you. How much did Jesus love you? Now love the brethren that way. That is the commandment. That's what Jesus said. This is my commandment. If you love me, keep my commandments. And this is my commandment. You know what that means? That means if y'all don't love these people over here the way that Jesus has loved you, you're not keeping the commandments. Therefore, you're not loving Jesus. Now stop and ask you. Do you not want the best for other people? Can you look over there? You know, if you're in this section, can you look over here at everybody in this section and say, I want God's very best for you? Can you do that? What if God blesses them with things He doesn't bless you with?
Well, I don't know. I've never gotten that.
You don't get it. I recall an ABA meeting one time. I was in that meeting and they were voting whether to give missionaries a raise or not. I don't remember what the raise was, like a 5% raise. And But I remember what one pastor said. He said,
I didn't get no 5% raise this year. Why should they get a 5% raise?
My thought was, yeah, you keep thinking that way, you'll never get a 5% raise. I thought, how sad. How sad. Why would you not look at a missionary and say, man, I want God's best for you? Why would I not look at the folks in the balcony and say, man, I want God's best for you? Can you do that? You see, that's the standard that Jesus has set. We're going to have to love like Jesus loved. This kind of love, I'm going to be straightforward with you, involves sacrifice. Are you with me? You can't love like Jesus loved and never sacrifice. Verse 13, we read those words. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. That word lay down literally means to sacrifice. To sacrifice his life. That word life is zoe. It means the inner man. It means your happiness, your desires, your energy, your vitality. So when Jesus talks about having this agape love, what he's talking about is being willing to sacrifice yourself for the benefit of others, of the brethren. You mean even when there's nothing in it for me? Especially when there's nothing in it for you. You see, that's love. That's the example that Jesus said. You can go to this very same book, John chapter 19, and you read about Jesus. You'll read about how he was arrested as a common criminal. How he was brought before Pilate. And the crowd crying, "Crucify, crucify." And Pilate presenting him and said, "Why, what has he done? I find no fault in this man." Then we see Jesus as he was beaten. Whipped with the cat of nine tails, just literally beaten to the point of death. He didn't die at that point, but he could have. And then we see Jesus brought back in front of the people and they shout. And Pilate says, "What do you want me to do with him?" And they say, "Crucify, crucify, crucify." "Well, let's make an exchange. We got this old common criminal, Barabbas over here, and we got Jesus. Which one do you want? Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus." And Jesus took it. Jesus allowed them to put that crown of thorns on his head. He allowed them to spit in his face. He carried that cross to the point of exhaustion where he collapsed and could carry it no farther. Then they led him to that place of the skull called Golgotha. And they nailed his hands and his feet to that cross where he hung. As people would pass by and say, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let God save him now if God will have him." And Jesus hung there. They mocked him and Jesus hung there. He could have called thousands of angels at any given time to deliver him off that cross. And Jesus just hung there. Until finally he uttered the words, "It is finished." In the Greek, "paid in full." That's your sin, paid in full. My sin, paid in full. And I ask you the question, what was in it for Jesus? Nothing. Why did Jesus do it? Because he loved you and me. What's in it for me? Everything. My friends, that's love. And that's the love that Jesus challenges us to have for one another. Now today, suffice, you know, we're not going to be crucified for somebody else's sin. I get that. But am I willing to sacrifice myself for the well-being of the brethren? See, that's love. Can you imagine what this church would be like if every member were willing to sacrifice themselves for the well-being of others? For the spiritual well-being of others. There would never be a problem with hurt feelings. There would never be lost tempers or harsh words. There would just be people running around trying to take care of everybody else. That's love. You know, this message has challenged me. And it has reminded me the love that I'm supposed to have for the brethren means I'm last and the brethren is first. It reminds me that the love you're supposed to have
is your last and the brethren first. And I want to challenge the Victory membership. I don't preach this message. Well, I preach this message because God laid it on my heart. This isn't a accusation that somebody's not loving. Nobody has attacked me. Nothing like that. Okay? Absolutely nothing like that. But I'm going to tell you, when I thought about this message, it kind of got a hold of me. It reminded me. I'm here to have an agape love for the brethren. And I'll tell you, you're here to have an agape love for the brethren. See, that's what makes church so special. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. You know, some of you get it, some of you may not. I absolutely love church. It's my best day of the week. I do. And the reason, well, I love to preach because God called me to preach. But I love being around God's people. There's something about gathering of God's people that you cannot get anywhere else. And that something is love. Okay? I appreciate the love that is at Victory. But I want to challenge you. Let's go deeper. Let's love more. More sacrificially. Let's love harder. You see, today, next week is Easter Sunday. Today we kind of leave Jesus on the cross or in the grave. And that's what He did for us. You know what the next thing He's going to do for us? He rises from the grave. And because He lives, we too shall live. Isn't that good news? Jesus rose from the grave, and because of that, the grave cannot hold Jesus' children. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? Today, I want to challenge the membership. Love like you've never loved before. Second thing, if you're here and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to real love. Real love went to Calvary to pay for your sin debt, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Real love demonstrated itself upon that cross by Jesus dying for you. And real love invites you today, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, will you receive the love of Jesus Christ by making Him the Lord of your life? If you would do that, you come during this invitation. If there's another spiritual need that you have, will you come? Maybe it's just this altar. Whatever Jesus leads you to do, will you do? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to love. Sometimes we do, Lord, we get selfish. Sometimes our focus is wrong. And it's good, Lord, to study Your Word and this passage that gets our focus back where it should be. Lord, we love You. And we know that our love for You is demonstrated by the love that we share for others. And so now, Lord, help us to be that loving servant. Help us that we may glorify You by sharing the love that You've already shared with us. Now in this invitation, we pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?